We want to begin by taking a few minutes to look at God's Word, and we have been exploring the topic of what does authentic, genuine faith look like? And in so many areas of our lives, all of us can appreciate the real deal, the real thing, the genuine, the authentic. And I believe God does too. And so James has written for us, who is the brother of Jesus Christ, a short letter titled The Book of James. And so we've looked at for the past couple of Sundays this picture of what it looks like when faith is genuine. This morning we're going to look briefly at a message I've titled Faith That Transforms from James chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. And so if you want to take a look at that, follow along. Let me just go ahead and read that for us. James chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. Not many of you should become teachers, my fellow believers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways. Anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect, able to keep their whole body in check. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. Will you join me in a word of prayer? Let's pray together. Father, all of us can testify in our lives the power of words from the moment we were born into this world till this very day. Thank you that you care about faith and people being real and genuine, authentic. And as we have explored what the real deal looks like, I pray that today, as we take a few minutes to think about the power of our speech, our tongue, our words, that you would speak clearly today, Lord. And so we thank you and commit this time to you in the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen. This morning I want to share just three things, just like last Sunday, that come straight from Scripture. Three truths. First of all, the tongue is the most dangerous creature of all. Secondly, only the power of God can tame the tongue. And thirdly, a transformed tongue is now our greatest weapon. We often think of a weapon, especially a weapon of mass destruction, as something that is nuclear powered, atomic, or maybe chemical or biological in warfare. But James, understanding humanity and human nature says no. The most powerful instrument and weapon is the power of our tongue. It is words. It is speech. We all have heard the saying, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. But we all know it's far easier to heal the wounds caused by sticks and stones than the damage caused by words spoken to us and over us in our lives. Think about the following statements. I love you. I hate you. Did you hear about so-and-so? I can't believe this, that you are going to soar and do great things in your life. You will amount to nothing. All of us this morning look back on our lives and really are a product and fruit of the different words that have been spoken to us and over us since the hour that we were born until now. And James is saying, if you want to get a picture of what real faith is, last week we talked about it's not just, I believe in God, I believe in the Bible, I believe in Jesus, but if it is real, it's going to flow out in your actions. And James today specifically is zeroing in on our speech and our words. That is how you know if faith in Jesus is real in your life, by the power of those words. And often we forget that. I know I forget that. We almost always measure by how much we're in church or the amount of scripture, the Bible that we are reading, or the amount that we are giving sacrificially or helping with the poor in our community. All good things, all good things. But James is saying the true litmus test, the true barometer is your words. It is your speech. It is a way in which you communicate things that is the real test of who you are and if your faith is genuine and real. And so James begins in our passage and leads us to our first truth, that the tongue is the most dangerous creature of all. And he begins by looking at his world and our world as well, reminding us that it is the little things that have the greatest influence. A bit in a mouth of a strong animal like a horse can break it down, can train it. You can make it do your bidding by that little bit in their mouth. A rudder that steers a ship, even a ship as large as a cruise ship, can be steered to the captain's whim and desire by the moving of a little rudder in the back. And as we all have witnessed even just a few weeks ago, the raging wildfires out in the West Coast, especially in California, started often by one little spark. Thousands upon thousands of acres can be lost, and even lives and homes by one tiny spark. James reminds us that the tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. That is the key to true living, James is saying. A person's speech is the barometer of their spirituality. It reveals what's in the heart. We're not talking about the hour and a half here on a Sunday where everyone is nice and polite and puts on their Sunday best and their Sunday words. But I'm talking about your Monday through Friday words and tongue and speech. We're talking when things do not go well in your life and you are disappointed and you are angry. And I know when I'm tired, I'm often greatly disappointed, as well as my family, when often my words are negative, discouraging, beating other people down, taking away hope, negative, critical. We end up hurting those that we care about the most, do we not? Through our words. In ancient wisdom literature, in the book of Proverbs, from the very beginning, we are warned of how our speech, our communication, our words can impact lives. Proverbs 10:8, the wise in heart accept commands, but a chattering fool comes to ruin. Is there anyone that wishes someone in your life would talk a little bit less? Don't raise your hands and don't point. Truthful lips endure forever, but a lying tongue lasts only a moment. In a culture where lying is almost encouraged, people don't even bat an eye when you lie. But Scripture makes it very clear. The tongue, Proverbs 18:9, has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. I remember I was told that words have spiritual power because we as human beings are made in the image of God. And the things that come out of our mouths have that kind of power to either build up or to destroy. And James says that is the true test of where your faith really is. How can you praise God one moment and then curse your brother or sister the very next? How can you be so hope-filled in your life and the very moment when things go bad, you sound like you are a person without God and the God of hope in your life? This is what James is talking about. Think about those three words. I love you. I hate you. What that does to a young child, what that does to an adolescent, to a young adult, an adult, a senior. We are sitting here this morning, can reflect back, and we know the power of words. You are a fruit of it that have been spoken over and into your heart and lives. And James says, that is a true test of where your faith is at. Even serving in ministry over the years, there have been those that, through their words, have greatly wounded both Kathy and I. I remember a mentor who, in exchange, out of anger, maybe I deserved it, when I was just beginning a new ministry and having finished school, so excited, pronounced over me, I cannot give you my blessing over your life at this time. I love the brother. God used him powerfully in my life, but those few words was like a hex or a curse on me. And I felt that I did not deserve God's blessing or love, and I began my full-time ministry with deep wounds in my heart because of that spoken sentence or two that could not give me his blessing. It wasn't until a little short time later where another leader said, you are going to soar like an eagle. God is going to resurrect you and use you powerfully. Get ready. And that gave me a hope and a release from the hurtful words that were spoken over my life. And all of us have experienced that kind of deep woundedness from words spoken over us, into us, against us, as well as words when they come from God's word and his spirit that sets us free, that heals the wounds, that brings life instead of death. We have that kind of power over one another, the power of words. Secondly, James reminds us, and I got to move quickly here. We have some baptisms to do. Only the power of God can tame the tongue. In verse 7, it says all kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, sea creatures are being tamed, have been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. That connects exactly with what Jesus said in Matthew 12. For out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. It is the Apostle Paul, when he looked at all humanity in Romans 3, and reminds us as he goes through a list of how sin has broken us and wrecked us. All have turned away. There is no one who does good, not even one. Their throats are open graves. Their tongues practice deceit. The poison of vipers is on their lips. Their mouths are full of cursing and bitterness. The world knows that language is powerful and that it is often problematic. And often the recipe to cure one's words or speech is think before you speak. Count to 10. Watch, I'm going to wash your mouth out with soap. I've heard that. That's never happened to me. I don't know if you guys experienced that. Watch what you say. In all other religions, you will find very similar advice on how to manage your speech and be careful with words. But that is not taming the tongue that James is talking about. You see, what James is saying is we don't have a speech problem, we have a heart problem. And to be Christian means that God has so worked in your life, he's given you a new heart, that your words reflect a new vocabulary, one of thanksgiving in the midst of trial, one of testifying to hope in the midst of hopelessness, one that blesses when you are cursed. One, in the midst of negative situations, you're positive because God is a God of hope. I was visiting with Jim Burke even a day or two before his open heart surgery this week at St. Francis. As we knelt together, we prayed, and he still gave glory to God in what he was about to go through. How does one maintain a trust and love and a positive spirit in the midst of such devastating health situations? It is when God has so worked in your life and heart that your words reflect this. It is not about word management. It is about a heart transplant. That's what God does. And only God can change your heart in this way. And that's what James is saying. Have you experienced this kind of transformation? Not just, well, I don't curse and I try not to lie and I try to maintain my composure when I'm ticked off. No, not just that. But is there a positive outflow of praise and thanksgiving? Do you ever talk about Jesus in your life? Do you give thanksgiving to a God that has rescued you, loves you, and saves you? Are you naturally communicating that to your spouse, your friends, your children? Is God is so working in your life and heart? Out of the heart overflows your words. It's not just about, well, I'll try not to curse and get angry. That's a good thing. But it's not just about word management. It's about a transformed heart. You can't help but talk about someone you love. When you experience a love in Jesus Christ, you can't help but to talk and testify and share about the goodness of God found in the person of Jesus. And so, thirdly and finally, when that transformation happens, we realize that a transformed tongue is now our greatest weapon. It is a new weapon of mass destruction to move God's kingdom forward in the lives of our community, our family, our children, our friends, and neighbors, as we push back darkness and the Satan's destructive kingdom through our words. We can now use it to do damage to Satan's kingdom and to move the kingdom of God forward in light and truth in the person of Jesus Christ. And we forget about that. And James reminds us of how powerful words are. Pastor Piper, John Piper, I came across this in a message a few years ago. Make your mouth a means of grace. A means of grace as you share, as you give hope, as you share the person, life, and love of Christ. That's what it means to allow your speech to become a weapon for God's kingdom. Paul also shares this vision for our words, Ephesians 4:29, that many of us have come across. And some of us need to hear this, including myself. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Be kind, compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Does not just your hour on Sunday, but does your Monday through Friday language reflect kingdom talk and a transformed heart? So what are some practical ways that we can use our speech for God's glory? I've outlined a few things. Because of time, I will not go too in-depth, but let me at least share them, and we could talk about it at a later time. We can move the kingdom of God forward and give glory to God through the power of encouragement, the power of correction when someone needs to hear the truth, the power of invitation, come and see, the power of chatting, the power of prayer. In each and every one of these, I've experienced in my life how God can use words in this kind of way to further the kingdom of God in my own life and into my loved ones, my ministry, my community. In a world that is so sarcastic, so hard, so negative, we take the life of Christ and the words that flow out to encourage the discouraged. There's someone in your life that desperately needs to be lifted up in words of encouragement. Even one simple phrase given and spoken in love and in faith can transform a life forever. When one is going astray, power of correction. We share both grace and we share truth. We don't put a guilt trip. Haven't seen you in a while. Love to see you come out. Come worship with us. Come check out my small group. Read this book. Listen to this message. Have you thought about this? We, in a gentle, winsome, loving way, try to bring the truth of Christ into the lives of all those around us. You may not have the gift of evangelism, so you think. You may not be that extroverted, but we can all reach out and invite. The power of chatting. Some of us are the very holy people. We only talk about very serious, weighty matters in life. We don't want to talk about football. We don't want to talk about hobbies. We don't want to talk about coffee. We don't want to talk about Snickers, pecan pie, all the joys of life. The power of chatting, I've learned over the years, is critically important that we know how to chat well. Listen to Eugene Peterson. He says this: most of people's lives is not spent in crisis. It is not lived in the cutting edge of crucial issues. Most of us, most of the time, are engaged in simple routine tasks, and small talk is a natural language. If pastors belittle it, we belittle what most people are doing most of the time, and the gospel is misrepresented. We need to develop, I love this phrase, conversational humility. staying close to the ground, close to people, close to everyday life, to what is happening with all of its down-to-earthness. Conversational humility. What do you think Jesus talked about when he gathered tax collectors, prostitutes, and sinners? Do you think he debated high theology with them, or did he chit-chat simple conversations about life, family, relationships, food? Learn to connect with ordinary people in ordinary ways. Don't let people think you're just a Jesus freak and a Bible basher, and they'll keep their distance from you. And in that, God will use you to share Christ with them. And fifthly and finally, the power of prayer. This past week in particular, I've heard multiple stories of the power of prayer. And when people at work, people in your community, when they know that you are a person of prayer, even if they will never accept Jesus Christ, even if they don't like Christians, they will rarely ever turn down a prayer when they are in crisis. Mayor Jay Moran reached out to me a couple days ago. He said, "Peter, thank you so much for having me at your church. We just elected a whole bunch of new officials for the town of Manchester. Will you come Monday night and pray a prayer of blessing over them? They're not all Christian. Will you come tomorrow night to Cheney Hall?" Cheney or Cheney? Cheney, forgive me. "Will you come tomorrow night and would you share a prayer and bless them?" I said, "It would be an honor. It would be an honor." Use your words to pray for others. Simple, simple prayers done in great love and faith. We push back the darkness through that. Lives are transformed. God uses our words to touch other people's lives. Paul says, "Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." As we pursue God and his passion for people, may people discover a community that knows how to encourage, knows how to pray, knows how not to backstab and hurt others and discourage and bring hopelessness, but rather to share the life, love, and the words of Jesus Christ as we push back the darkness, as we continue to experience his love and grace. May our words reflect that kind of heart, because people are dying for words of life. May we be a community that knows how to do this well. Let us pray. Father, I pray for my brothers and sisters who at some time in their life received words that were so hurtful and produced very deep wounds that even as adults we might carry today. I pray, Father, for your words of healing in life, that we can be set free from those words that have almost destroyed us. May we believe and embrace your words that if anyone is in Christ, she is a new creation. May we learn to embrace your words for our lives, and may we in our daily speech, in times Monday through Friday, when we're working our tails off, when we are tired, fatigued, discouraged, when we are sick, I pray that you would allow our words to still bring you glory and hope and life. Allow our Trinity family here be a place where words are used to build up, to encourage, to point people to the one who is the Lord of life and truth. Teach us what it means not to hurt one another. Teach us what it means to love like you loved. Teach us to forgive as we have been forgiven, and allow our words to build the kingdom of God and point people to the Lord of light and truth, which is you, Jesus. Forgive us for unkind, hurtful words that have come out of our mouths that have hurt or destroyed others. Teach us with a transformed heart to give hope and use our words for your honor and glory. We pray all these things in the name of our Savior Jesus. Amen.